There are 39 milahot, which constitute forms of work forbidden on the Sabbath. It's the why behind the way we do the things we do. Join Rabbi Moshe Schnurb now for Hilchos Shabbos, only on 101.9 High FM.
This is Soul to Soul on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Pashas Vayakel, which is also the special Shabbos of Pashas Shkolim. And in addition, very special Shabbos, just the day before we go into Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni and get ready for Chag HaPurim. A very warm welcome to all of our radio family. Thank you so, so much for taking your time to join us on this Erev Shabbos and Bezer Hashem to try to inspire ourselves, to try to grow a little bit more, to try to learn something maybe we didn't know beforehand, and certainly, hopefully, to have some material to bring to our Shabbos table, to talk to our family, to discuss around the table, and Bezer Hashem, to enhance our own and the Shabbos of everyone that it sort of sits together with us. As usual, we are dedicating the show today as a refuah shlema for Gadi Daron Chaim ben Kela, for Avram ben Golda, for Yosef Gershon ben Taiba, for Gad ben Felicity, for Lazy Yitzchak ben Zlata Esther, for Ben Zion ben Chaya Mushka, B'soich Shar Cholei Yisrael, Meitaka, every word of Torah that we say, be Yizchus, be something that is treasured up in front of the Kisei HaKavod, and bring B'mheira, Mamish, a refuah shlema to all of the Cholim, both here and Eretz Yisrael and everywhere in the world. Parshas Vayakel begins with Moshe Rabbeinu gathering the whole nation together and telling them about Shabbos. Sheish yomim te'aseh melacha, 6 days your work shall be done. Uvayom ha'shvi'i yeh lachem kodesh, the seventh day is Shabbos. Rashi teaches that in the text, the mitzvah of Shmirah Shabbos precedes the building of the Mishkan. Why? To warn us that Shmirah Shabbos overrides the building of the Mishkan. Interestingly enough, in Parshas Kisisa, which is the previous Parsha, and of course also preceded the creation of the Egel Azav, of the molten golden calf, there the Torah introduces the mitzvah of building the Mishkan before mentioning the injunction concerning Shabbos. The Chiddush Yorim explains that prior to the sin of the Egel Azav, so the six work days prepared for Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos was then the focal point of the week, with each day bringing one closer and closer to the ultimate goal of Shabbos Kodesh. After the Chet HaEgel, the nation needed their Shabbos observance to elevate them to the point that they would be worthy of building the Mishkan. So we understand from what we just said that the nation's participation in the Avera of the Egel Azav, and that whole debacle, right, harmed them spiritually. And of course they plummeted from the unprecedented level of Kedusha that they achieved when they received the Torah and they said, Naaseh v'nishma. A number of spiritual deficiencies seemed to sort of occur following their sin. They lost the crowns of Naaseh v'nishma, right? We will listen and we will do, which were placed on them by the Malachim, as the Gemara says. Moshe Rabbeinu appeared to have some difficulty grasping the idea of the Machatzis HaShekel, the half shekel, every Jew that had to donate. So Rav Zev Weinberger Zal explains that following the Aveira of the Golden Calf, Moshe did not see how they could have the sort of the Nedivus Salev, the generosity, the kind of the heartfelt donations that were necessitated for the building of the Mishkan. Hashem showed Moshe a fiery coin representing that Machzis HaShekel. This hinted to Moshe Rabbeinu that actually the intrinsic Kedusha of the Yids did not become tarnished at all. Right? The other half shekel that was sort of in Shemayim corresponded to the one on earth. If the people make their attempt, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to connect the coins. Clearly, a sad change occurred in the nation's spiritual integrity, but all was not lost. We could still come back. If we gave that coin, we did our best, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would still bring us back to him. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with much, much more.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kedish. Pashas Vayakel. Pashas Shkolim Tov Shin Pei Dalet. And a warm welcome for those of you joining us just now on the show. It's great to have you aboard. We're going to talk about the Pasha, and I also would like to speak a little bit about Pashas Shkolim this week. Let's see if you can manage to say something worthwhile, say something salient, something that we can take with us and enrich our own lives, enrich our own Shabbos by speaking about it. So, in the original command that Klal Yisrael was given about the Mishkan, so it says, "Kechu me'itkem trumah Hashem," take from them a donation for Hashem. "Koyol nediv libo yivyeo eis trumas Hashem." All the generous people, all those who are generous of heart, will bring the trumah of Hashem. Zovs, gold, kesef, silver, nechoshes, and copper. The Gemara in Chulin, Dav Zayin Mebei, says, Yisrael kedoshim hem. The Jewish nation are all holy people. Yesh roitzeh ve'ein lo. There's some who want to give tzedakah, but unfortunately Hashem hasn't endowed them. They don't have the means to give tzedakah. The yesh sheyesh lo, and you could have a situation in Chas Shalom all the way around. Person who has the means, ve'ein lo roitzeh, and he doesn't want to give. And Tosfos over there writes, says, nevertheless, even though there's that second situation of people who might have money and don't want to share it, don't want to give, they're still called Kedoshim. Why? Because he still, even though he doesn't want to give tzedakah, but he invites his friends to come have a meal by him because he's embarrassed. They tell a story that when the great Rav Zusha from Anpoli, when he learned this Gemara, so it says he had a question. It says, how can it be that someone who invites his friends because he's too embarrassed, I don't want to be look like a skinflint. I don't want to look like someone who never shares his money. So I'll invite someone over so at least I look generous. I play the part of someone who is a benevolent sort of person that invites people. How can such a person be called a Kaddish, be called a holy person? And he used to cry. He tried to understand the words of this Tosfos until it says that the Ri, who was one of the Baalei Tosfos, appeared to him in a vision at night. And he said to him, my son, says, don't cry anymore. I'm going to reveal to you what Tosfos meant in this situation. Because he says, it's well known that every single mitzvah that every Jew does, he creates for that an angel. He creates a beautiful, beautiful malach. And that malach also has some kind of a physical body and a neshama. And he's made up of two fundamental elements, fire and wind. As in fact it says, Oise malach of ruchos, Hashem makes his angels out of wind, Mesharasav, his servants, Eish Lahit, are a burning fire. So he says, from the physicality of a person doing a mitzvah, that creates the body of the malach. And from the kavanah, the intention he has when doing the mitzvah, that creates the neshama of the malach. Now, if someone wants to give tzedakah, but he doesn't have the means to do it, so then he wants to give tzedakah, but he's not doesn't have the possibility because he's lacking finances. So, therefore, what can he create? He can only create a neshama of a malach, because he's not doing the act of tzedakah. He doesn't have the means, but he wants to. There's a tremendous kavan, he wants to. So he creates a neshama. And on the other hand, someone who has money and doesn't want to give the tzedakah, and he only gives because he doesn't want to look like a skinflint. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. At the end of the day, he did an act of tzedakah. The act was done to its absolute completion. There just was no intention. He didn't do it for the right reasons. He wasn't doing it like Shem Shemayim. And therefore, he only creates only the body of the malach. But we know that there's a concept that Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh L'Zeh, the whole Jewish nation, are interrelated one to the other. And the action of the one person, right, which creates the body of the malach, and the desire of the other person, and his burning want to do the mitzvah, that creates the neshama of the malach. So too it is in the whole totality of the Jewish nation. That someone who has money and doesn't want to donate it, nevertheless, right? He invites other people because he doesn't want to look too cheap. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. So therefore, by his doing the act, he's created the body of a malach. And the person who wants to give tzedakah and doesn't have, right, with his thoughts and his desires and his kavanah, he created the nefesh of a malach. And Pinchas Ben Yoyi doesn't mean to say that each one of them is called a kaddish by himself, because even someone who wants to give the tzedakah and doesn't give, he's not a kaddish because by himself he did an empty action. There was no heart in his action, right? It wasn't a complete act at all, right? Because the complete fulfillment of Hashem's will is only when you put together the action and the intention. But what Hashem does is that he takes both of them, right? He takes the nefesh of the one that wants to, and the guf of the one that does it, and from together they create a full and complete malach with a guf and a nefesh. And therefore, Tosfos is 100% correct. V'afilu achi, nevertheless, ikru kedoshim. All of them together are called holy. In plural, it says it. Because when I combine together the actions of both, then I have a situation where everyone is a kodesh. But each one by himself is not necessarily a kodesh. And with this, we can understand the statement of our Chazal, the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Men, which says, "Machshava Toiva." If a person thinks and wants to do a mitzvah, and you can't do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lomaisa. Hashem joins it together as if he's done it. What does that mean? Really, what it should have said was that it's ki'ilu asa. Why doesn't it say person who wants to mitzvah and can't? It's as if he did it. That doesn't say that. What does it mean? Hashem's mitzarf, Hashem joins it together with a maisa. Right? So it says the intention is as follows. That another person who did a maisa without the right intention, so he created the body of the malach, but without a neshama, a malach is useless. But in the totality of the Jewish nation, you have another person, Sher Misha Reitzav Ein, someone who wants to do the mitzvah but can't do it. And he has tremendous pain because that he can't finish and bring his thought, his desire to fruition. Right? And from his good and positive thoughts, he creates the neshama of the malach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the act of both of them together, and it creates a beautiful, beautiful malach with a body and a neshama. And therefore it's actually deserving that the Jewish nation as a totality should get this beautiful label as being called Kedoshim, as being holy, holy people. Because we don't act as individuals. We act in concert. We act in unison with so many other people. And even though maybe we can't always do mitzvahs, we don't have the ability, we're not healthy enough, we don't have the means, whatever it might be. But Hashem puts that together with other people who do the mitzvah, even though they might have ulterior motives in doing it. But to put together the two form a beautiful and perfect malach. We're going to come back with much more in a moment. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. Please stay with us.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayakel, Parshas Shkolim, 5, 7, 8. Four Tavshin Pei Dalet. We are talking about a Gemara in Chulin. Gemara in Chulin talks about how the entire Jewish nation gets the incredible label of being holy people. I mean, explained what that means. I'd like try to perhaps give another explanation, another meaning to this Gemara, and perhaps we could say as follows: there's a Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi in the beginning of Maseches Shkolim says, Amar Rabbi Bo Bar Acha. Rabbi Bar Bar Acha says as follows: Ein ato yochol lamed al oifi shel umuzos. No one can truly get a handle on the personality of this nation. Nitboyen leegel, when an appeal was made for people to bring things for to make the golden calf, the nisen they give. Nitba in the Mishkan, when there's really a few months later, another appeal, another charity campaign to raise money for the building of the Mishkan, the nisen, and they all give. And I think an explanation of this statement would seem to be every single person has two drives, two compelling things that try to drag him down to do bad things, to do sin, to do averus. One is, of course, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has planted within all of us that lives in the heart of a person and drags them all the time with all sorts of tricks and all sorts of advice, right, to try to do averus, to try to do things that he shouldn't be doing, and on the contrary, to try to stop him from fulfilling the positive mitzvahs, and particularly to try to stop him from learning Torah. However, every human being has an additional thing that is also a thorn in his side. That's also conspires against him to try to make him fall. And that is,
his own body, his own physical body, which was created from physical material, from the dust of the earth. And therefore, that which is physical, that which comes from the earth, by nature, is heavy, is lazy, is indolent, just wants to sort of sit there like the earth does. And therefore, that is drawing him towards laziness and to try to involve him in all the physical pleasures of the world, of eating, etc., etc. And that's why, in fact, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Gimel, which says, Ki hu yoda yitzreinu. Hashem, he knows who we created. He knows very well the power of our Yetzirah. But zachur ki afar anachnu. Remember that we are nothing but dust. In other words, yes, there's the Yetzirah that's trying that all the time to drag a person down, down, down to do averus. But there's also the additional foe, the additional rival that stands in opposition to us. And that is the fact that we were created from the physical dust. And that also tries to bring a person to all kinds of bad, non-productive physical desires. However, when it comes to financial matters, to spending money, so there, the body of a Jew is different from the physicality, from the body of a non-Jew. Because by a non-Jew, his body kind of drags him to also to do bad things, not to give money to tzedakah, to be a little bit of a miser, and to preserve his money for himself. I might need it, got to keep it all for a rainy day, you never know. When the sky is going to fall in, I better make sure I have all my money. However, it's very, very different by a Jew. Because by nature, a Jew is generous. And the physical body does not prevent the person from giving. But the giving can be in both ways. It can be a positive giving for a Mishkan, for a project like the Mishkan, or God forbid, even to negative and things that we shouldn't be giving to, like Avodah Zorah, like idol worship. And therefore Yisrael Kadoshim, Yisrael are a holy nation. In other words, their body is also holy. Why? Because it doesn't stop them from spending money. But because of the other problem we have, and that is the Yetzirah, right? So the Yetzirah by itself stands in opposition to us that we shouldn't spend money for tzedakah, etc. But rather, when we have a situation of being embarrassed, no one wants to be embarrassed. No one wants to be shown in front of other people to be something that is a kind of a despicable a kind of person. And there are things that, you know, the Gemara says that a person would rather, a person more worried about what other people are going to think about him than even what Hashem thinks about it. So therefore, when it's standing in a situation of possible embarrassment, so then the busha, the embarrassment, has the ability to quash the Yetzirah, and straight away, now there's no opposition at all. The body is neutralized. The body is trained to give, naturally gives. The Yetzirah, when it comes to embarrassment, is silent. Therefore, we straight away give. Because there's nothing stopping us in our physical makeup to prevent us from giving. Right? Like by other mitzvahs. In opposition to that, the non-Jew, even in a situation where he is embarrassed, right, he still won't give. Why? Because it's true that the embarrassment might sort of counteract the Yetzirah but still, their body is not trained to give, and the body will protest about parting with its own money. And therefore, we can come and can answer a question which is asked in the Sefer Meir Eini Chachamim, where he says, why is it that in the second parsha of Krishna, the parsha that begins Vayayim Shemaya, it says the Avos Hashem Lekechem b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshechem, doesn't say b'chol moideichem. In the first parsha it says Yahavto es Hashem Lekecha b'chol levavcha, or your heart b'chol nafshecha, or your soul u'b'chol moideicha, all your possessions. So in the first parsha it says three things: levavcha, nafshecha, and moideicha. In the second parsha it omits the third one of moideicha, all your possessions, like it says in the first parsha. It's a very strong question, and the answers that the Mishnah in Brachas on Daf Nun Dalid expounds on the pasuk. What do we learn from the word b'chol moideicha? Not only with all your possessions, but b'chol mida u'mida shehu moideid lecha. Whatever it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out to you, whether it be good things, happiness, success, or God forbid, sometimes the opposite, challenges, difficulties, troubles, maybe suffering, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu meets out to you, have a moed aloy. You should thank him b'moed ma'oy very, very much. And this is only possible by an individual when a person says this about himself as an individual. But the second parsha, which is talking about in plural, Shemaya Tishmu, the whole thing is written in plural for the public. You cannot say about other people, oh, you must just accept what Hashem does to you. Very people are very quick to say, oh, that's min Hashemayim, this is all from God, like accept it. That's for you to work on, for yourself. When things happen to you, you must understand that it's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and accept it and work on yourself to use whatever it is that is happening to you as an impetus, as a kind of a fulcrum for your own growth. But to turn around to someone else and say, oh, it's a God-given thing, you better just do tshuva or whatever, you better correct yourself, that's a terrible thing. You can't say that to somebody else. You can't tell them, oh, just accept what Hashem does, right? And that's in fact what the Bnei Yisachar says in Agra Dekala, and explains the Pasuk says, Loi sasun kein Hashem lekechem. Don't do this to Hashem, your God. He says, the Ratzon of Hashem is, the desire of Hashem is, that the tzaddikim should do everything they can to cancel and annul Hashem's decrees, and not to just accept upon himself and kind of justify and rationalize all of Hashem's harsh decisions. And they should say that all the terrible tzaras, everything that's coming on Klal Yisrael, they're from Hashem. They can't do that. But rather, the tzaddik must make every effort to use in his own way of serving Hashem, to do everything he can to negate all the terrible, terrible gzeiras, so that he should be able to have a hashpah and an influence on the Jewish nation, and bring about only kindnesses and only good things. And that's what Ramesh Lev Sasev said. We say in the bracha, Sha'asa li kol tzarki. First, I say, Hashem did for me everything I need. We say it in the singular, because a person has to feel regarding himself that he has everything. Whatever he has, he needs. Whatever he needs, he has. But to others, if someone is missing something, then you have to do everything you can to supply them with what they need. You can't say, oh, you don't have it, you don't need it. So perhaps we can then answer that the Mishnah at the end of Brachos, which explains B'chol Moedecha, also says B'chol Mamoncha, with all your possessions. And later on, Laf Samach Alech, it's brought Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, it brings Rabbi Eliezer, says Im Nema B'chol Nafshecha, if it already says you have to serve Hashem, love Hashem with all your soul, why does it say B'chol Moedecha? Of course, your soul will include all of your possessions. And if it says B'chol Moedecha, everything you have, then why does it have to say B'chol Nafshecha? But he says, if there is a person who is more attached to his physical body than even to his money, therefore it says, even give your life for Hashem. And if you have a person who is, his money is more precious to him even than his life, therefore it says, give all your money. In other words, the difficulty that a person has, that I love my money so much, my money is everything, I can't part with it, and I love it even more than my life, that is only when he's by himself. But when he's together with other people, that difficulty sort of falls away because he's embarrassed from other people, as Tosfos says. And therefore it says, B'chol Moedecha, only in the first parsha of Krishna, because that's talking about in the singular. And it's alluding to the fact that a person who is sort of in a situation all by himself, right? Then a person has to think, O my Moedecha, everything I have I'm prepared to give, and whatever it is that Hashem has given me, I understand this is for my good, this is for me to grow, I can gain from this. But in the second parsha of Krishma, which is said for the plural, then you can't say B'chol Moedecha. You can't tell other people, oh, you must accept what Hashem does and learn from it and grow from it. That's very hard for some people. That you have to have sympathy, that you have to have empathy, that you have to have concern, that you have to give chizuk, that you have to help them as much as you humanly can. I want to change tracks and just talk for a few minutes. This week is Parsha Shkolim, the Machatzis HaShekel. And we know that we're told that after Kriyas Yamsuf, it says, Vayasa Moshe Yisrael Yamsuf. Moshe made the Jews travel away from the Yamsuf. And Rashi says he forced them because we know the Egyptians had decorated their horses with beautiful golden decorations and silver and precious stones. And the Yidden were finding them in the sea. And in fact, what the amount of money they made after Kriyas Yamsuf was even greater than what they got in Mitzrayim. And that's how Moshe Rabbeinu had to force them to leave. And the truth was that once Moshe Rabbeinu had told them the first time to leave, then they, as disciplined people, they should have left right away. Whatever they took after that point was actually not kosher. It was in a certain kind of way, it was money that they had stolen. And that caused the sin of the ego. Now, we know the mitzvah of giving the Machatzis HaShekel is coming as an atonement for the ego. As the Pasuk clearly says, it's L'chaper b'nei Yisrael, to atone for what we did. And Rashi says, because there were commands to be counted right after the Maisa ego, because there was a plague amongst the Jewish nation. In other words, the Machatzis HaShekel is coming to atone for the sin of the Egel. And the Yerushalmi says that's why everyone had to give a half a shekel, because the sin of the Egel Azav was done in the middle of the day. Right? So in other words, the Machatzis HaShekel is coming then to fix up and repair the not kosher money that they received Akreis Yamsuf. How does that work? So he said, when every single person in the entire community gives a half, so he reveals that I'm only giving half of the necessary amount. Who's giving the rest? Someone else. In other words, I'm a partner with every other Jew in doing this mitzvah. And therefore, even if, God forbid, I have money that I earned or have that may not be really mine, may not be justified, right? I took something from my friend that I shouldn't have taken, but it's fine because now we're all becoming partners. And therefore, all I did was actually take my portion in a partnership. There's money that's deserved to me. And therefore, all I did was take what I deserve. And therefore, every single person forgives his friend, and therefore we're able to get rid of all the stolen money. And with that, perhaps we can explain a Zohar. The Zohar says that when a Yid makes a big party and invites lots and lots of guests, so God forbid, if he's making it with money that may not be his, so therefore he's actually causing the guests to slip up in the sin of theft. They're eating, so to speak, stolen food. And that is going to be blamed on him. Therefore, the Zohar says, be very careful when you make a big meal, invite poor people to your house also. And by the committee, the act of charity, of tzedakah, that arouses this concept of machzeh shekel, they become your partners. And all of Israel is all one financial entity. We're all partners. And therefore, even if, God forbid, I took money from a Jew and I shouldn't have, so that's not considered an act of theft, because as partners, we're meichel one to another. This is 101.9 Chai FM. The program is Soul to Soul. We'll be back in a moment with our Hilchos Shabbos slot.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
101.9 Chai FM. This is Soul to Soul. Back on your radio. Erev Shabbos Kodesh. Parshas Vayakel. Erev Shabbos Parshas Shkolim this week. And of course, tomorrow is going to be also Erev Rosh Chodesh. Yes, we have a Shabbos Mevorach and a Parshas Shkolim, an incredibly, incredibly beautiful and potent Shabbos coming up this week. For those joining us just now, a very warm welcome. Thank you for taking the time to be with us and perhaps, hopefully, inspire your Erev Shabbos to become something a little bit holier, a little bit closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a little bit more valued. So as we begin our slot on Hilchos Shabbos, before we do that, as we always do at this time, just to give you the important details we need for this coming Shabbos. So this afternoon, the earliest time to light your Shabbos candles is at 5:13 this afternoon. That's the earliest you can do it. And as I say, that's very, very doable. That's still almost like 2.5 hours away from now. There's plenty of time to sort of get the food ready, get bath, get dressed, and just allow yourself an extra hour of Shabbos Kodesh. Just sort of exhale all the worries, all the pressures, all the stresses of the week, and just kind of collapse in a heap as Shabbos begins. Take a book, take a sefer, take something that's going to relax you, and really start as early as possible to get into the Shabbos mode at that time. If you're unable to manage the earliest time, so the latest time for benching licht this week is exactly an hour later. The earliest time is 5:13. The latest time is 6:13. We've abandoned our standard summer Johannesburg time, summer in case you haven't noticed, although maybe the temperature doesn't bear it out. Summer is over. We are heading towards Purim. We are heading towards Pesach. We are heading definitely towards autumn. And the latest Shabbos candles can be lit this afternoon is at 6:13. Please regard that as the absolute latest time for doing any melacha on Shabbos. Do not rely on the extra 18 minutes after that time that is there, as I always say, for emergency situations, just for situations where one really has no other choice but needs that time to avoid, God forbid, breaking Shabbos. But we have to regard 6:13 as the de facto beginning of Shabbos. The keys should be away. If you're going to get to, you want to drive to shul, you should already be in shul, causing the keys in your locker so that you could be on time for a mincha, and really let Shabbos start at that time. Sunset is then at 6:31. That's your absolute latest time for even emergency situations. And therefore, if you want to be able to say the Kriya Shema at night, although it could very well be that most shuls will now only get to Kriya Shema in the davening after 6:49, most shuls may only be saying Kriya Shema at that time anyway, but just in case you're not, or you're davening at home, so if you want to be able to fulfill the Torah mitzvah of saying the Kriya Shema and not have to repeat the whole thing again, wait till 6:49 and you can do it, and then you can sit down with your family, with your friends, with those you love, and enjoy a beautiful, beautiful Shabbos meal on this really, really special Shabbos. As I say, Parshas Vayakel, Parshas Shkolim, Shabbos Mevorchim, really is a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. Tomorrow, of course, is Parshas Vayakel, because of the fact that it's a leap year. We divide the Parshas, so we'll read Parshas Vayakel by itself, and Pekudei will be next week by itself. And, of course, as I say, this is the first of the very special Parshas that we read during Adar. We're now going into the, sort of, so to speak, the real Adar, Shaparsha Shkolim, which always comes out on the Shabbos before or coinciding with Rosh Chodesh Adar. So we'll read Parsha Shkolim. So after we read the Parsha, we then take out a second Sefer Torah, although the truth is, we could use the same Sefer Torah, they're so close together. Read the Parsha Shkolim, which comes from the beginning of Parsha Kisisa. And then the Haftarah is the special Haftarah for Parsha Shkolim. Although, coincidentally, tomorrow is also the day before Rosh Chodesh. And were there not something else special, we would read the special Haftarah of Mochar Chodesh, from Shmuel. But Parsha Shkolim and the special Maftir and the special Haftarah takes precedence, and we'll read that special Haftarah. Tomorrow is also, as I say, Shabbos Mevorchim. Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni will be on Sunday and Monday. Straight from Shabbos, we go into Rosh Chodesh, today Rosh Chodesh for Adar Sheni. So, of course, that's going to cause a lot of merriment in the town. It's a very, very special time, Rosh Chodesh Adar. So we'll read the special Haftarah. We'll then say Birchas HaChodesh. And of course, whatever it is that in your community is usually done on Shabbos Mevorchim, a special shir, a special farbrengen, a special food at the Kiddush, whatever it is, be there, enjoy it, make yourself part of the festivities of the Shabbos. The Shabbos then continues. At Mincha, we will not say Tzidkos Chatzelek because of the fact that it is Erev Rosh Chodesh. And, of course, Shabbos Kodesh ends tomorrow night at 7:01, 1 minute past 7. And then, as I said, we go straight from Shabbos into the Rosh Chodesh. So it portends to be a beautiful, beautiful, powerful, and very, very sort of impactful kind of a weekend. We are learning still the laws of food preparation, and we're going to talk a little bit about writing, decorating, spreading of food. So it is forbidden in halacha to write any kind of letters, any kind of pictures, right, using, let's say, sweets or cream, right? Let's say on top of a cake, right? And although it's true that there probably isn't a Torah obligation in doing that, because the letters aren't going to last very long, and very, very quickly they're going to be destroyed. And in order to be a Torah prohibition, the writing has to be permanent. But nevertheless, the writing, any kind of writing, is forbidden from the sages, from the Chachamim. Let's say they were already depicted or drawn on, let's say, the cake, letters or pictures that were meant to form, let's say, particular words or a particular picture, or a tree or a house or something like that. So then it's going to become forbidden to cut the cake in the place where those letters or pictures are. Because if you cut through a letter, you are destroying a letter, which is also a prohibition to erase or destroy a letter. However, to cut in between the letters or the pictures is going to be permitted, right? If you have a really sort of desperate kind of situation, then you would be allowed to cut even the letters or the pictures. Now, if, however, instead of doing it in icing, the letters or the depictions are actually made of the same material as the cake itself, and in that they sort of created the letters in the cake. Let's say sometimes you get these tea biscuits, and they actually have Mari, whatever words are actually imprinted in the biscuit itself. So since that's not really considered to be something very distinguished, so you'd be allowed even lechatchila to eat them, even though you're going to destroy those letters. Now, if someone needs to tear open a packet that has food in it, and on the packet are written all sorts of letters, brands, advertisements, whatever, a person should make very, very great effort not to tear the packet at a place where there are letters. If you absolutely have no choice, so then you'd be allowed to tear the packet where there are, as we'll see a little bit later, but really, as I say, packets and things should be open before Shabbos to avoid any type of problem like that. Okay, we're going to be back in a moment with a few closing notes. This is 101.9. The program is Soul to Soul, and this is undoubtedly the greatest Jewish radio station in all of Africa.
This is Hilchos Shabbos with Rabbi Moshe Schnurb, only on 101.9 High FM.
101.9 High FM, this is Soul to Soul, back on your radio, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayakel, also Parshas Shkolim, also Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni. So much going on this Shabbos. Thank you for taking the time to join us, even at this late stage on the show. We are talking about food preparation, and we're saying that one is not allowed to, let's say, churn milk and make it into butter on Shabbos. In fact, many, many of the poskim believe that this is actually a Torah prohibition, because as a tolda of the melacha of boine, of building. Why? Because it actually involves changing the food from a liquid, milk, to a solid. It's more in Shabbos on tzadi hay, right? One also may not shape food into sort of impressive kind of designs. And this is also a type of building, and this is the opinion of the Magen Avraham in Shin Men Chayodam seems to say that also. Now, one is allowed to spread food on your bread, or let's say on crackers, because the prohibition of spreading, which is called mimareach, does not really apply to foods. One also may sort of change the appearance of the spread. So if you want to make it sort of look a little bit more appealing, a little bit more appetizing, right? Sort of smoothing it as you want. So therefore, let's say one can put a hummus on a serving plate and spread it into a circle for aesthetic reasons, since the food is already ready to eat. And smoothing it doesn't actually improve it in any kind of way. That's the sum of it. There are those who are machmir and don't even permit smoothing foods to make them look more appetizing. And if someone wants to be machmir, so therefore he should tavo yalav bracha, as the Ramah says in Simon Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Yutes. Well, that's really all the time we have on this Erev Shabbos. Just enough time to, first of all, thank everyone for joining us. Really, really appreciate the fact that you make the time to be part of our radio family. And hopefully, I daven that we're all inspired and we all grow and we all learned a little bit more after the show than we knew before. And just to wish all of you a most amazing, amazing Shabbos Parshas Shkolim. And after that, a beautiful Rosh Chodesh, as we sort of gear ourselves up for Chodesh Adar, for the joyous and celebration, as we're only sort of 2 weeks away from the great holiday of Purim. Thank you for being with us. And to each and every one of our radio family, a beautiful Geshmak, good Shabbos, and subsequent to that, a Chodesh Tov also. Call cultive.